Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios. And our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome, friends, to the Wednesday edition of our broadcast. Great to be with you. Hope you'll be able to stay with us live for the next hour. And if you are, we'll be sharing some thoughts today on our subject all week long, Passion Week, the way to the cross. And we're so excited about this week and celebrating each and all, every one of the events that are outlined for us in the scriptures that lead up to, of course, Friday, which we often refer to as Good Friday, the day that Christ was crucified. And we know, again, what that means for all of us. That means that redemption has come, our sins are forgiven, God accepts us now through the blood of His Son, and there is such great celebration in our hearts. Although, of course, that was a dark, dark day, we know its true meaning, the redemption of the human race. And then, of course, the celebration of Easter Sunday. And we want to quickly remind you that if you don't have a local church, and as you celebrate this upcoming Easter Sunday, join us. Our services on Easter Sunday are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then again in the evening at 6:30 p.m., and we'd be happy to have you as our guests as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming up on Easter Sunday. So again, we want to thank you for joining us today. A quick reminder that following our devotional thoughts, we'll open the phone lines, and you have a chance to join us live on the broadcast with your questions, comments, your testimonies, counseling needs, and of course your prayer requests. All of that and more are welcome on our broadcast. It's quite simple to reach us. Just give us a call on one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. And the local number here in the greater Baltimore area, that number is 410-483-3700. And it would be our pleasure to have you join us live on the broadcast today. And we hope that many of you will do just that. Pick up that phone when those lines are open and join us. I want to remind our listeners, of course, that we are broadcasting on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and gracehour.org. But along with those platforms, you can now hear our broadcasts and even the archive broadcasts on so many other different podcast platforms, such as Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, just to name a few. And again, find us on all of these and more. And you can subscribe or follow us on our most recent episodes of the Grace Hour. And again, that's available to all of you. And of course, we appreciate those of you that are listening to us live and hope that many of you are making the transition from the morning broadcast, which we now are broadcasting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our previous broadcasts were, of course, at 1 in the afternoon. And just hoping that everybody's making that adjustment, not only here in the United States, but around the globe as well. And we have been talking a lot about our Easter play, which is happening here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. In fact, last night was the first performance. And, well, we're happy to inform you that the cast and crew did an outstanding job. It was fantastic. And we had a very good turnout last night, and a number of people came forward and accepted Christ as their Savior. And again, the Easter play entitled One Decision Will Change Your Life. And there were many that came forward last night and made that one all-important decision. And we are believing that, yes, their lives would be changed forever. So the next performance will be Thursday evening, not tonight, because we, of course, have our midweek service here in our chapel at 7 p.m., but Thursday, April 14th, Friday the 15th, and Saturday the 16th, those will be the final performances. So make your plans to join us now on one of those evenings, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And we want to remind you, of course, that those weekend performances are always very well attended. So if you're going to come out with that one of those nights, get there early, because you'll really enjoy the performance. One decision will change your life. And cast, crew, they did an outstanding job. You know, usually in that first night, they have to work out all the kinks, but it didn't seem like there were many of them. And they did a great job and the message came across loud and clear. And the visual aspect of the Easter play, the presentation of Christ's coming and his life, his death and resurrection, beautifully portrayed on the stage last night. So hope you'll make it out. Bring your friends, family members, your coworkers, neighbors, anyone you know that would appreciate it and enjoy it. Invite them out to be a part of it. So as we continue our live broadcast this week, which will lead up, of course, to Good Friday, the day that we celebrate Christ's death on the cross. We're very excited about that, very much looking forward to, again, all of the events that transpired that we read about in the Gospels. Well, I'm kind of focused on one thought as we watched the crucifixion live on the stage last night. I'm focused on this thought that we read about in John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, and the 19th verse. And you say, well, what do you find there? Well, it's when Pilate, after having interrogated Christ, made his decision to hand him over to the crowd because of their prevailing voices and having washed his hands of the matter concerning Jesus, says that he made a sign and wrote a title, put it on the cross. And what was written there were these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write that he is the King of the Jews, but write he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate responded and said, what I have written, I have written. And I think that there's a message in that title or that sign that Pilate had posted above the cross of Jesus. And I think this is the message. There isn't anybody that God cannot use. Because think about it. He used Pontius Pilate. And the thief on the cross that was crucified next to Jesus, he read that sign. He saw something not only in the sign, but of course, as he listened to Jesus and the words that he spoke from the cross. But that thief, you could almost say, is like so many of us. He was a royal mess. But what did he do? He read a royal proclamation. And then he asked for royal help. And he got it. He simply believed on Jesus and asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. I don't think that Pilate, when he wrote that and had it put on the cross, intended on spreading the gospel. And the Jews didn't even like what he wrote. But he said, what I have written, I have written. And the thief on the cross was actually led to Christ by someone who rejected Christ. You know, there's almost a similar story. The great theologian, the scholar C.S. Lewis, my understanding was he was led to Christ, or at least helped to come to Christ by an associate of his. His name was T.D. Weldon. And one day, and of course, Weldon was an agnostic, an unbeliever. C.S. Lewis at the time was agnostic, an unbeliever. And Weldon once said in his presence, that stuff about the dying God, he said, it almost looks as if it really happened. C.S. Lewis heard him say that. And that was the motivation. That became the catalyst for him to trust Christ and to eventually believe on him and accept him as his Savior. So you can see, based upon how God used what Pontius Pilate did by writing that sign and then placing it above the cross of Jesus, God even used him. And the second thing that we can notice about what we read here in John's Gospel, chapter 19, is that there's no language that God doesn't speak. Notice that what he wrote was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Well, Hebrew, the language of religion. Latin, well, the language of Rome, law, government. Greek, the language of the culture at that time. It was It was as if God was speaking to everybody. No one could miss the message of the cross. And it begs the question for you and I, what is the language that God is using to speak to you? Is it need? Do you find that there's great need in your life and you look to fulfill those needs with what this world has to offer, but it never seems to be enough? It never seems to fulfill the deepest part of your heart. Is it the message of pain? Sometimes God uses that in our lives, and he uses the pain so that he can get our attention. It's as though he's speaking to us. You know, there's so many different languages that God can use to get our attention. And I think that that's the message that we read of the cross. Maybe for some, it's even the message of religion. I know that in my case, yes, I was religious or trying to be religious, but it was almost as if religion wasn't enough. I was following the practices. I was trying to fulfill my religious duty and obligation. Still left me empty. Still left me longing for more. There had to be something else. And of course, there was. It was a relationship in our hearts that God wants to have with each one of us. So just put these two principles together. What Pilate wrote, well, again, Pilate wrote it. I don't think that there are any interviews when we get to heaven, but if there were, imagine the thief who was crucified beside Christ, and he gets there, and angels inquire and said, how did you come to know Christ? Well, I just read the sign. Who put the sign there? I'm not sure. Maybe one of his apostles, maybe one of his disciples. No, they didn't do it. Well, then who did it? Pontius Pilate? Did he write the first gospel tract? Did the thief on the cross read it? Was his life changed because of that one decision to believe on Jesus? The answer is yes. So again, God can use anyone. Again, in the case of C.S. Lewis, God used, you know, an associate, another unbelieving friend, to bring him to a place where he was ready to trust Christ. And then there's no language that God doesn't speak. And maybe he's speaking your language today. You know, maybe it's the language of abundance. Maybe you have so much. Maybe you've been blessed. And you just keep wondering, why have I been the recipient of all these blessings? Why have I receive so many good things in my life? Well, perhaps that abundance will bring you to an understanding of God. God has given you that, your success, your wealth, your blessings. The bottom line is God speaks our language. No matter where you're at, no matter what point you are at in your life, God may be speaking to you. Are you listening? Because the cross speaks to everyone. You know, it's interesting how we can't be neutral when it comes to Jesus. You know, you just can't accept a neutral. You must either decide, is he who he said he was? Is he the savior of the world? Is he your savior? Or has he lied and deceived the whole world? Or was he beside himself, as some early in his ministry declared that he was? Maybe he's insane. Maybe he's lost his mind. Maybe he is a lunatic. That's your decision. And Christ, again, you cannot be neutral about him. It's as though his presence brings us to a place where we have to decide. Well, we hope you decide that he is Savior, a Redeemer, the one who loves you, the one who is ready to redeem your life, to fulfill your heart's deepest desires, to give you that purpose that you long for, to remove your past, your sins, your failures, and to give you a brand new beginning. He can do it. All he ever asks of us is our faith, our trust, that we would just believe him. Everything changes with that one decision. And we hope that we'll be seeing more of those decisions in the nights to come, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night here during our Easter play. And we're hoping and praying and believing that many more will come out, fill the seats in our chapel. And of course, that invitation, we extend it to you as well. Join us for the Easter play. One decision will change your life. You won't regret it. and you'll be grateful that you were here to be a part of it. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. We're going to continue our discussion live right here in our studios. And, of course, phone lines, you can reach us anytime you like. Pick up that phone and dial one of these numbers. Be a part of our broadcast on this Wednesday morning. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And the local number, 410-483-3700. The phone lines are now open. Pastor Schaller's joined us in the studio today. We'll continue our conversation about Passion Week, the way to the cross, and what that cross means to every one of us.
Pastor Love, I like that part, this part of the gospel story where Pilate writes the King of the Jews over the head of Christ on the cross. I'm also fascinated. I could hear you as you shared that and made those very good points about it. And I'm fascinated with that particular detail of the story and would like to go over it a little bit. You know, do you think that there's a ridicule towards the Jewish people when he does this? You know, like, if this is your king, this is how you treat him. Like, that would be one of them, you know. Another one is, like, we would, if we had a people group and the oppressing government over our particular group took a homeless person, grabbed him, nailed him to a cross, and then said, he's your king. That's another, like, derogatory message from the oppressive government. You know, Rome oppressing the Jews, take an outcast, Christ, who is hated by them, and he declares him to be your king, you know. I mean, there's another one too, I think, and that is, you people don't have a king because we are Romans ruling over you, and we deny you that privilege of ruling yourselves. So Caesar is ruling over you, and yet in your history, you have had kings. You've had kings in your history like Solomon and David, and you've had kings, but we've taken that away from you, and so now we give you this man as a king, you know. It's like a ridicule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like he was mocking them.
Yeah, it seems like he was mocking, and they didn't like it. Say, he said he is the king of the Jews, and Pilate goes, no, you know, I'm fed up with you people. This, what I've written, it's there he kind of lets the hammer fall. Like you have manipulated me. I am crucifying a man. I don't really want to do this, but I'm doing it. But I don't really enjoy working with you people. And when you're asking me to change that sign, I'm not going to do it.
It's as though, and you mentioned this in our church service this past Sunday, Pilate understood something about Christ that the Jews did not understand. And he said, I find no fault in him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible. And you brought out in the message as well that Judas said the same thing.
Yeah.
I have betrayed innocent blood. Well, these are two, if you will, those that oppose, two testimonies and two enemies almost, if you will, of Christ. They could see it, but the Jews could not.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, you know, the anti-Semitism in the world, we have nothing to do with that. We are not anti-Semitic at all. We are Jews, really, Romans 2, 28, 29. In many ways, we are grafted into the tree, and we are honored to have these institutions that were God-given to the Jews. I love this history, all the teaching in there. These were written for our learning, Romans 15, 4. All of the things of the past, our Bible is filled. So And we are pro-Israel, pro-Jerusalem, pro-Jewish. You know, we are evangelicals. We are loving the Jews. They are, in many ways, our brothers. You know, we have so much in common. So what we are saying now regarding the crucifixion has nothing to do with how that could be used to be anti-Semitic. We are not. We are not, because everything that is said about them is said about us. We are in the same family. We are in the human race, and we understand that this is about the human race and what we're all capable of, and of not seeing who Christ is, of not understanding God's ways, and all of that is written clearly in the scripture.
Mm, yeah. We really are in that same class, that same category, no doubt about it. Well, friends, those phone lines are open. If you would like to join us, participate in the broadcast, we hope many of you will. This is a great time to do it. And perhaps some of you, perhaps that are listening today, were at the play last night. And if you would like to join us and share your thoughts about what you witnessed on the stage in our chapel last night, give us a call. The phone lines are open. This is a good time to reach us, 800-338-7060, toll-free in all of North America, and 410-483-3700. And join us live on this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We'd really be happy to hear from you. We want to remind you also about our service tonight, our midweek service, which will be happening at 7 p.m. tonight. And all are welcome. We hope you'll make it out. If you're able to, join us tonight for our church service. And then again tomorrow night, once again, the play will be happening at 7, and then Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. as well. And we hope you make it out. I'd love to hear from those of you that perhaps were there last night. Give us a call and share your thoughts, your testimony about last night's performance. One decision will change your life.
Yeah, it was a very good performance. Anu did a great job directing it. He played the role of Christ in the play. Great manner, all the parts, the way it was written. Pastor Anilonis had written the play, and it kept your attention. It drew you in. I liked it a lot, and in the end, maybe one of the best. And the effects on the audience was just beautiful, so we're thankful for that.
Yeah, they did an outstanding job, and, you know, really in less than an hour and a half, it encompassed almost the entire gospel story, mm-hmm. including the crucifixion and the resurrection and the post-resurrection, Pentecost. It really was all-encompassing. It was fantastic.
It was, yeah, very extensive, absolutely. And the different characters and getting into their character and the humanity. I mean, that's the one refreshing thing about the Gospels is, humanity, people and their doubts, their questions, their fears. But then the overriding reality of this undeniable story of Christ and his teaching, his character, his nature, his death and resurrection. Absolutely good news. Absolutely critical for people to consider it and believe, be drawn to him and embrace him and believe in him. You mentioned in your devotional, Pastor Love, maybe you could say something more about it there. The two thieves on the cross and them seeing the sign over the head of Christ, the King of the Jews.
One of them, of course, we know, the one thief rejected who Christ was and perhaps his message. You kind of think that perhaps both knew of him or read the sign that was posted above him. And I think that those two thieves, they kind of represent this whole idea, this whole matter of decision, choice. One, deciding, I don't believe that he is a king. I don't believe that he is a savior. I don't believe what he said, regardless as to some of the miracles that we heard about. and some of the message that he, the messages that he preached, I don't believe. And then the other one, you know, realizing, you know, we are in, we're in hot water ourselves. We're being punished for crimes that we committed. But he didn't, you know, this man, Jesus, he did nothing wrong. And I can't help but think of all the words spoken by Christ on the cross, that that one sentence was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." That had to be, that had to penetrate that thief who believed on Jesus. It had to penetrate his heart. How could he be asking God the Father for their forgiveness when they crucified him and had no justification for it? It had to be overwhelming.
Yes.
And moved upon his soul. I just can't imagine. During the play last night, at one point in the performance, several of the actors came up, and each one of them proclaimed those seven sayings that Christ proclaimed on the cross. And it was powerful, because you're reminded that even those words spoken on the cross are powerful enough to change a person's life.
Yeah, very simple words too, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is something to consider, that one of the thieves said, why are you cursing him? He hasn't done anything, but we have, do we deserve what the other thief was not able to put himself in, you know, identify with. What was the other thief missing?
Simple faith. He could have trusted Christ. Okay. He was at the same place as the other thief, where I think, yeah, those two thieves, they just represent humanity.
Okay.
So many. I mean, when people are presented with the offer of the gospel, what are your options? Accept or reject?
Mm-hmm.
Believe or continue to live your life in unbelief? You know, consider yourself too far gone as to be a candidate of salvation, or recognize maybe this is your moment, embrace it, take it, don't miss it.
Well, here it is, Luke 23:39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." Okay. So we have two things there. One, if you be Christ. So he doesn't have faith, but he has enough to say that. If you be Christ, save yourself and us. Okay. So there's just two reflections. One, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. That's like, but he can't put himself in another, you know, he can't do what the other thief does, which is, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God?" That's like one thing. In seeing you are in the same condemnation, do you not fear God? That's what's missing with the other thief. He is not able to put himself, like, in his understanding, he doesn't really see. It's just about him. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us, right? Like I'm looking for a ticket, you know. I got to get out of this situation. If you be Christ, make that happen. But the self-reflection on another level, which is like coming from fearing God, and the other thief says to him, "Don't you fear God? Don't you see you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, like we deserve what we're getting, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." So he has, there's a third person. You mentioned earlier, Pilate said, "I know if I know fault in him." Judas said, "I betrayed the innocent blood." And then the thief on the cross said, "He's done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I think he's meaning, not now. The other thief is saying, save us now and get us off the cross. The other one is saying, you don't have to save me now. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what he thought. The other thief was thinking, you know, if you really are who you claim to be.
Get us out of this thing.
You can do it. You have the power.
Yeah.
Take us.
Use it.
Deliver us.
Use it for yourself and us.
Exactly.
Of course, us.
And that's what others said at the cross. His enemies, those that opposed Christ. If he were the Christ, if he were the Son of God, he could come down from that cross. And that would be evidence enough for us to believe. But yet, we know now that there's no salvation if he comes down from that cross. There's no deliverance if he comes down from that cross. It's as though the one thief had it right. You don't have to come down and save me right now. Just please remember me.
But there'll be a day, because I believe you really are the King of the Jews. You know, you are more. You're the King of Kings. Yeah.
I love the fact that, you know, the three different languages that were written there, because there's no language that God doesn't speak, and he uses, you know, perhaps not actual languages such as we know, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, but what about suffering? What about pain? What about, you know, in my life, it was God used the language of emptiness, desperation, you know, a longing for something that would fulfill the deepest need. I didn't find it, but yet that was used by God to speak to my heart. It was the language that he chose to bring me to a point where I was ready to trust Christ as Savior. And he loves people so much that, well, he'll speak whatever the language that they hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was just teaching in the high school, and this is Easter week, so then we went over some of the principles, and I could share this story with you, Pastor Love, and for our radio audience, and then you can comment on it. I don't know if this is true or not, but the story goes this way, that a man committed a capital crime, was imprisoned, sentenced to be hanged on a certain day. His twin brother came, visited him, they changed clothes, the guilty man left, the innocent man was hanged. And I asked the class, is that right? Can that be done? Is that a righteous or a fair thing? Is that legal? What do you think? You know, so I gave them time to think about it and talk about it between themselves, and then asked them what they think. So I can do the same with you.
Mm. Well, the crimes were paid for. It seems to me that justice was served, albeit the one who paid the price was the wrong man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that sounds like the work of the cross.
Yes. If the authorities, the legal system, found out that was done, would they approve it?
Perhaps not.
Yeah, it's illegal.
Yeah.
Because the law is that the guilty man pays for the crime, not an innocent man, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if this is what happened with Christ, that he was actually righteous and innocent, and yet he dies in our place, on what grounds is it right? Why would that be right when actually it's not right? It's on a legal basis, it's wrong. You know, that can happen. You know, the guilty man pays. So in what regard is it right in the eyes of God that he would give his son for us?
that just sounds like grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just pure grace.
Yes.
And the fact that God would accept the punishment that was meted out to Christ and say, I'm satisfied. My justice is satisfied because the sins were paid for.
And could we say that in the mind of God, who has the mind of wisdom, he would say, and in himself, remember we have three, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if they agreed together that one part of this is not right, and that is that the justice would be that we would pay for our own sin, but that would be an eternal payment because we are sinners, so the penalty of sin is death. But if Christ becomes a man and he is without sin, and if he without sin is sacrificed on our place, and that is pleasing to God, that God is saying, yes, I agree, because you are motivated. Like, Jesus, why would you do that? And he would say, because of love. Because love says that mercy rejoices over judgment. Or love says, you know, I love them and I will pay their penalty. But notice, the penalty that I pay will be giving my life and not dying, not going to hell eternally, which would be us paying for our sin, would be eternal separation from God. That will not happen to me, for the Father will receive me. He will look on what I have done, being pleased. It says in Isaiah that it pleased the Father to bruise him or crush him, that he's satisfied with that sacrifice of a pure life that is eternal, that is there in our place. He's satisfied with that, so that now abundance of grace is shed upon us, so that we are redeemed by his blood, we are saved by his grace, and by his righteous life.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And that same portion in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we're reminded, it says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it was, the exchange was him for us. And it was our sin. It was our sin, because as you said, he did not commit any sins of his own.
Right.
So it was our sin that he was punished for and condemned for. So in that sense, God would have to look at the righteousness of his own and say, I accept that.
Yes.
It wasn't yours, it was theirs. But it's been paid for. And my justice is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
What a gospel message we have. And that's why we love to proclaim it. Phone lines are open, friends. This, again, your opportunity to join us. We hope that some of you will give us a call at 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number in all of North America, Canada, and the United States. And then that local number, for those of you in the greater Baltimore area and beyond, 410-483-3700. And we want to remind you that we've got some great messages coming up in the next couple of days as well. On tomorrow's edition of the Grace Hour, our Thursday broadcast, a message from Pastor Stevens entitled The Communion of the Body of Christ. We'll be talking about what essentially Jesus said his sacrifice was all about. And then on Friday, you won't want to miss this, friends. We have two clips we'll be sharing with you and discussing during the live broadcast. One of Pastor Stevens' classic messages, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. And you won't want to miss that as well. Again, all of these messages are designed to highlight Passion Week, the way to the cross. And I think that those of us that have been in the ministry for some time remember that message, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. I remember listening to it for the first time and thought, my first thought was, I've never heard anything like that before.
Yes.
But it just so precisely brought out what was accomplished at Calvary.
Yes. It's I remember, I think I was there in person back in the South Berwick Chapel. I think it was preached. You know, when you have a history of hearing the word and studying it on your own and embracing what it is, what is being said, and then you have those moments in a service where those are like aha moments, or that makes a big impression on you, so much that you decide to build your life on it, so much that you are drawn to him. You think about maybe being in the full-time service, or getting involved with the local church more, or having new friends, or being excited about the Bible and living in faith obedience. Those are life-changing, and that's what the ministry does. And when we have this Passover week, this Easter week, then we are really relating to the very fundamentals of our faith. This is not a, Jesus says, as is said, you know, not a moral teacher, a good guy, you know, sharing, you know, platitudes about the goodness of man, his intentions, good intentions, hard work. No, this is about redemption. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is about being lost. This is about being alienated from God and then being born again by the miracle of redemption. This is about the blood of Jesus speaking better things than that of Abel. This is about the Holy Spirit ministering to you the reality of God's mind and embracing the Savior, not a good moral teacher. Beyond, he's, one thing you can say about Christ is that it's not about him being good. It's about him being divine. And that's incredible, that he is God and he saved us from our sins.
It's incredible to think that it's not about him being good. And then we also understand it's not about us being good.
Yeah.
Which these are the misconceptions in the world that we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
So many people believe that they're not candidates for salvation because they're not good enough. As though God was saying, this is how you're saved. You live a good enough life, and then that will provide you the ticket that you're looking for. When in reality, no one can live a life of righteousness. I think that's what's missing in people's understanding. You got to come into the presence of God. You have to have a perfect righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And unless, you know, and don't be so deluded to think that you can produce that and that your performance is brings you to that level. It can't, and you won't make it. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need the gift of righteousness, and that's only provided through Christ. Well, friends, phone lines again, silent, quiet. Love to hear from you. A great opportunity for you to pick up that phone and join us live. We welcome your phone calls at the toll-free number 800-338-7060. And locally, right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700.
This is so remarkable that Isaiah 53, verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Meaning it's pretty incredible to believe this and to take note of it. Man overlooks it. I mean, this is amazing that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, received up to glory. That's the great mystery of godliness. But who is believing it? Who is believing it? And how do they understand it? Verse 2, he will grow up before him as a tender plant. You know, we have these crocuses, flowers that spring up like almost overnight. There is a species of bamboo that springs up and grows almost, you could watch it grow. It's so fast and beautiful plant. But Jesus is like a tender plant. You could overlook him, but he's a little boy in Galilee, and he's like, there he is, the Messiah, and we can't believe it. And he's like a shoot out of dry ground. What do you think the dry ground means, Pastor Love?
Maybe just seemed like he came from out of nowhere, like obscure background.
Okay.
Where did he come from?
Okay. Dry ground, like think of a crack in the concrete, you know, concrete sidewalk, and they're, you know, like almost like dry ground. Usually the ground is prepared, moistened, watered, prepared, but he grows up like in a religious atmosphere of hard ground. Like, you know, where did he come from? You know, how did such a wise, loving, humble, tender plant come out of such dry ground? You know, maybe unbelief, maybe fear, maybe even this time in our country and this time when there's so much animus, so much emotion against righteousness, and there he is in the midst of that, and that's a good picture. The Taliban, hard ground. Jewish orthodoxy, hard ground. In the Gospels, Christ in a hard world, a hard religious world, Christ grows up as a tender plant. Let's not underestimate the work of grace and God's sovereign power to do that which is exceptional, you know, way beyond. Even the Jews coming out of Egypt, I mean, how you would say that can't happen. They are slaves, more than 400 years slaves. I cannot imagine them coming out of Egypt and being set free as a people. But it happened.
Yes, it did. And, you know, go back to the opening remarks of Isaiah. You know, who has believed our report? You could almost say, well, who could possibly believe anything like this?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what happened with C.S. Lewis, hearing his friend T.D. Weldon say that. And I can imagine him saying it sarcastically. You know, this stuff about a dying God. Yeah. It almost looks like it could really have happened. And you know, in other words, the gospel message of salvation by grace through faith is so outrageous that maybe you think, maybe it did happen.
Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. The human race has major problems, and there's two of them, if not more, but major. One is death. What are we going to do with death? And the second one is sin. What are we going to do with sin? And the Messiah came for both. It looks like if I was God, that's what I would do for the human race. I would solve their major problem, that's death and sin.
Wow.
Like, right? Not give out, the government gives out checks, you know. You know, money, 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 you know. It's like, I don't need money. I need God, you know. And if this is God, it looks like almost it could be true.
Yeah, I know. Praise God, it is. Well, we have a caller joining us. Jenny is joining us from up in Lee, Massachusetts. Jenny, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller.
Hi, Jenny.
Oh, this broadcast. I'm on my way to a job, and I pulled over on the side of the road to call you because what you said, Pastor Schaller, when you asked those kids today, how did you say, what do you think? Was it legal? Was it right that the twin brother should die in the place of the one who was really legally guilty? And I thought about that, and then about what you both said about the thief on the cross, the people that said he was innocent, etc. But, you know, I first I thought, okay, I think that that thief, it was such a heart issue, that that thief was overwhelmed with what was inside of Christ, that he would be so motivated to pray for those that were crucifying him. And maybe he couldn't define it as perfect love, as divine love, but that's what he sensed. And I believe that in the case that you mentioned, Pastor Schauer, that I would like to believe that that twin that went free would be so overwhelmed with the love in his brother's heart that would motivate him to do such a thing that he just would be totally decriminalized, that he would, his life would be transformed. And when you were asking Pastor Love, like, is this legal? Is it legal? And yes, I know in the books it's not legal, but I don't have my Bible with me, but I know that the Bible says that the law, all of the law, is fulfilled in one word, love. Just one word, love. And that's what the I don't know if I can put this into words, but as you were speaking after that, I thought, Lord, that was perfect, unblemished, unchanging, eternal love that died for us on the cross. Yeah. I can't explain. It was just like a revelation that this is the most amazing love. There's no argument against it. There's no law against it. And how could it not change anybody that would just embrace it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh? It's changed us.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It sure has.
It's amazing. And there's nothing wrong about it. It is effective. It's satisfying to God. It is, you know, like you said, and we were saying, is on one level, it's not just, but there's another kind of justice. You know, there's a higher one. It's love, and like mercy rejoices over judgment, because what mercy can do. Like justice, in a way, is a dead end. Like justice is, you know, you pay for your sin, and that's the end of the story. Justice is death. Justice is we pay for our sin in hell forever and ever. But love has another storyline, and it has no end. It goes on and on and on and on. It's God. Yeah. God is love. And it goes on and on and on. And that's what we see with Christ. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's just the beginning.
Really,
just the beginning of the story.
It's the beginning of the story, yeah.
Wow.
It's like the end of one story and the beginning of a brand new one that will never end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much, both of you, for this broadcast. I'm going to listen to it again.
And thank you for pulling over to the side of the road and calling us, Jenny.
Oh, it's a delight to postpone work.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. I love you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. You know, last night in the stage, Pastor Schauer, you know, really throughout the entire performance, there are the gathering of all those in the upper room waiting for Pentecost. And when the Spirit of God did come, it was fantastic, because we have a lot of our students here in Bible College are from different countries. And when the Spirit of God came down in the performance last night, they began to speak in other tongues, other languages. And then they really did.
Yeah.
They were speaking in
Spanish.
Chinese and Finnish.
Hungarian.
It was amazing.
Yes.
And of course, when you read the account of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when that happened, people said, what does this mean? Others said, well, they've been doing early morning drinking. But others, you know, they said, what does this mean? But after Peter preached, they said, what do we have to do to be saved? The question changed. They didn't understand it, but when they heard the message, they said, what do we do?
Okay.
And that's amazing, because I think with an understanding of the gospel, everybody should be brought to a place where they say, what do I have to do?
Yes. Yes.
We hope we see that in the upcoming nights where people are brought to that place where, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit and watching it, there's something about visualizing the gospel message. When you see it and you look at it with your eyes, we know about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but to see the gospel portrayed on the stage as we did last night and as we will in the coming nights, it's very powerful.
Yeah, I like that what you said, that these people are drunk maybe, and then Peter preaches, and then wait a minute, what, we are in trouble. Wait a minute, the man that we crucified has been raised from the dead, and what must we do? And it was, wasn't keep the law, it was simply believe in him, and this gift is given to you and your children. Remember, they said before Pilate, his blood be upon us and our children. Well, this changes that. No, you're not. We are all guilty for crucifying him, but now it isn't that, he changes. This is God. Christ was given to suffer and die on your behalf. Now, the Holy Spirit and the truth is on you and your children forever and ever. You know, that's the idea. Changes from I am guilty and I will take the penalty to I am free and now the new life.
Amen. Well, yeah. We've reached the end of another broadcast, friends. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the conversation and the message that we have been talking about, we'll continue to talk about all week long during Passion Week here on the Grace Hour, the way to the cross. We do want to mention once again about tonight's midweek service at 7 p.m. Hope you can make it out. Be our guests tonight. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. Our zip code is 21206, and you can join us tonight. And then, of course, the play, the next three performances this coming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Hope to see you there. Make sure you make it out. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.